Well, good afternoon, everybody. Slow Pulse coming at you live. It's June 3 of the year 24. Welcome aboard our weekly book of class. We're currently doing Nefesh HaChayim. And last week, it was a little bit of a botching up of the recording. So let's start it from page 158, chapter 16, in gate 4 of Nefesh HaChayim, talking about the greatness of studying of Torah. Here we go, chapter 16, relief from anxieties. If someone learns Torah Lishma for its own sake, all his worries and worldly concerns that interfere with his learning are removed. As it says, quote, if someone accepts upon himself the yoke of Torah, the yoke of government, and the yoke of worldly responsibilities are removed from him. The Midrash says, it is for this reason that the Torah was given in the desert. Just as a desert is an area that is not plowed and where no crops grow, so too, if someone accepts upon himself the yoke of Torah, his worries about earning a livelihood are taken away from him. And just as in a wilderness, you don't have to pay taxes, so too, a Torah scholar is exempt from paying taxes. Exempt from paying taxes. Indeed, it is a halachic ruling that Torah scholars are exempt from paying taxes, as the Talmud in the Nedarim 62b says. Quote, Rava said, Torah scholar is permitted to say, I will not pay the head tax, which was levied on the town, since the town benefits from a Torah study. As it says in the book of Ezra, King Artaxerxes wrote to Ezra, no one has the authority to impose upon them, that means the Kohanim, any levy, tax, or duty. And that's Ezra chapter 7, verse 24. Likewise, it says in Tanit Eliyahu, Eliyahu Rabbah chapter 4, quote, a Torah scholar who studies full-time for the sake of heaven does not need a sword, a spear, or any protective armor. Of course, the Holy One, blessed be He, Himself, guards that individual. End quote. And in chapter 18, it says, quote, if a person conducts himself properly and knows only the written Torah, he is given one angel to protect him. If he knows Tanakh, he is given two angels to protect him. For it says, he will charge his angels for you. And that is in Psalm 91. But if one knows Tanakh, Mishnah, Midrash, Halacha, and Agada, and has ministered to Torah scholars, then the Almighty Himself watches over that person. For it says, Hashem is your guardian. Hashem Shomrecha. Hashem is your guardian. So it says in Psalm 121. The more dedicated one is to learning Torah Lishma, the more he will be granted relief from worldly worries, and a heavenly protective shield will hover over him. The Talmud of Avodah Zarah 17a says, whoever occupies himself with Torah study will have his wishes granted by the Almighty God. End quote. And the Midrash says, quote, whoever occupies himself with Torah study will be successful in all his undertakings. And also it says, whoever disseminates Torah to the public will earn his livelihood without strain and hard work. Hashem will provide his daily sustenance. As it says, she gives food for her household. That, of course, is an Ashes child. That's Proverbs chapter 31, verse 15. Footnote, Maimonides says in the laws of Shemitah, chapter 13, subsection 13, every person in the world whose spirit lifts him and whose wisdom guides him to keep away from worldly pursuit and devote himself to serving God and gaining knowledge of God, casting off the yoke of mundane concerns, such a person will be sanctified and will be holy of holies, God will be his portion and inheritance for all eternity. All his needs are filled in this world. So says Rabbi Goldberg of Telz in his interpretation, Uvachata v'chaim, you will choose life. It says in Tana Devei Eliyahu, Torah scholars who learn Torah for the sake of heaven and at every possible opportunity with fear of God in their hearts, even if they were to ask for their whole world, God would give it to them instantly. But there's more. Top of page 160. We know that a Torah scholar who studies Torah Lishma shuns honor and greatness. As it says in Avos, in the Ethics of the Fathers, chapter 6, Mishnah 5, quote, do not seek greatness for yourself and do not crave honor, end quote. However, God will grant him joy and glory against his will. As it says, only goodness and kindness shall pursue me all the days of my life. Ach tov v'chesed, yir defuni, kol yimei chayah. That's Psalm 23, verse 6, meaning, although I run away from honor and greatness, the unwanted accolades pursue me against my will. Continuing. Chapter 17, Torah study saves from Gehenna. The Talmud in Chagiga 27a says, the fire of Gehenna has no power over Torah scholars. And the Midrash says, in Mishlei Rabasi 1, quote, the Almighty said to Israel at Mount Sinai, if you accept the Torah and you keep it, I will save you from three calamities. One, the war of Gog and Magog. Two, Chevle Mashiach, the birth pangs of Messiah. Three, the judgment of Gehenna. And I will satiate you with the good that is set aside for the righteous in the hereafter. As it says, how abundant is your goodness that you have stored away for those who fear you. Psalm 31. And we saw some of that in the Midrash yesterday, in our study of Gracious Rabbah 92, subsection 2. People, there are great scholars who were quoting how grateful they are to God that he stored, that God stored away a portion of Olam Haba for them. And the Midrash says further, quote, the only righteous act that saves man from Gehenna is Torah study. Even if a person has committed a sin, the Torah he has studied can save him from harsh judgment. And in Midrash Tehillim, on Psalm 19, it says, in the time to come, Gehenna will cease to exist. Instead, the sun will scorch the evildoers. As it says, quote, for behold, the day is coming. The sun will be burning like an oven, when all the wicked people and all the evildoers will be like straw, and the sun will burn them up. Malachi chapter 3, verse 19. Furthermore, it says, quote, there is no darkness and no shadow of death where evildoers can be hidden. That's Job chapter 34, verse 22. But who can hide from the heat of the sun? Who can hide from that? Answer, those who occupy themselves with Torah study, end quote. We can derive this from a Kal Vachomer, from Elisha and Acher, from Elisha Acher, Elisha who is Elisha ben Abuya, who was, of course, the teacher of Rabbi Meir, was a great Torah scholar. Problem, he renounced the faith and became an apostate, after which he was referred to only as Acher, the other one. For more about him, see Chagiga 15a. We can derive this from a Kal Vachomer from Elisha ben Abuya. From the Gemara in Chagiga 15b says, quote, when Acher, who had rejected the Torah, when he passed away, they said in heaven, we cannot sentence him to Gehenna because he immersed himself in Torah study. How about that?
And so, therefore, all the more would this be true of lesser evildoers. If somebody who renounced the Torah went off the path, goes up to Shemayim, and they say, can't do much with him, cannot sentence him to Gehenna, because he studied so much Torah. Can you imagine what a better judicial decision there'd be in the case of somebody who is not quite as bad as that? Certainly they're not going to get sentenced to Gehenna. If somebody who went off the path is not sentenced to Gehenna, then how much more is somebody who does a sin here and there will not get sentenced to Gehenna? The Zohar says, in Parshas Yisro 83b, why was the Torah given amid fire and darkness? To teach us that whoever studies Torah will be saved from the fire of Gehenna and from the darkness that the nations of the world spread over Israel. Everlasting life. Middle of page 161. The Raya Mehemna says, Parshas Truma, it's a mitzvah to learn Torah every day because it discloses the mystery of the ways of God. Whoever learns Torah gains merit in this world and the next. He is saved from all accusing angels, and the Shekhinah rests on him. End quote. Commenting on the pasuk in Tehillim, Psalm 119, quote, Gal Einai, unveil my eyes, that I may perceive the wonders of your Torah. The Raya Mehemna says, how foolish are people who do not learn Torah, for the Torah means life, freedom, and goodness in this world and the next world, the world to come. Torah grants complete happiness in this world, a life of total freedom without misery, freedom from oppression in this world, and freedom in the world to come. For whoever has learned Torah is free from divine judgment in the hereafter. The Zohar says in Parshas Vayeshev, quote, anyone who makes an effort to learn Torah will have life in this world and the world to come. Even if he did not study it, Lishma, he is rewarded in this world and won't be judged in the world to come. Proof of this is the pasuk in Mishlei, Proverbs 3, verse 16. Length of days is at its right. Orech yamim is bimina. Length of days is at its right hand. Umismola, and at its left, Oshem Echavot. Wealth and honor. Length of days at its right means what? Length of days at its right means everlasting life in the hereafter is given to one who learns Torah Lishma. At its left, wealth and honor means he'll be granted a rich reward and a life of tranquility in this world. What's more, when a person who learns Torah Lishma departs from this world, the Torah goes ahead of him, protecting him from accusing angels. When his body lies in the grave, the Torah watches over him. And when his soul ascends to its place in the hereafter, the Torah goes ahead of him, and many gates crumble before the Torah until the soul reaches its destination. The Torah hovers over him until he awakens at the revival of the dead, and it defends him before the heavenly tribunal. And so it says in Proverbs 6, quote, as you go forth, it will guide you. As you recline, meaning in the grave, it will guard you. And when you wake up, it will speak for you, meaning it will defend you before the heavenly court. Further on this subject, the Midrash Tanhuma says in Parshas Akev, on the words, quote, inscribed on the tablets of stone, Charus al Haluchos, okay, the scripture says that the letters of the Torah were Charus, inscribed on the tablets, famous. Al Tikra Charus. Do not read the word as meaning Charus.
meaning inscribed, but rather read it chavrus, same four letters. There are no nakudos in the Torah. So you can read it like that. Of course, it's a little, it's like, it's a drush, but it's a very sweet drush. Charus, ches, resh, vav, tuf means inscribed. Same exact letters. Ches, resh, vav, tuf can be read chavrus. It's just, that's the way Hebrew is. Same four letters can spell the word inscribed and spell the word chavrus. It all depends upon, meaning of freedom. It all depends upon how you read the word. So we're told, do not read the word to mean inscribed on the tablets, but rather read the word as freedom, chavrus, freedom, because the person is considered free from the grip of the Malach HaMavet, the angel of death, if he studies the Torah. Continuing. Sorry about my bad voice. Hopefully next week will be better. Chapter 18. Untouched by the forces of nature. A person who takes upon himself the yoke of learning Torah Lishma for the sake of the Torah alone, such a person lives under heaven's special supervision. God gives him special supervision, hashgacha pratis. As such, worldly conditions don't affect him. He stands above the forces of nature and is immune to celestial influences. Being attached to the Torah, close to the Almighty, such a person is filled with the holiness of the Torah, which is infinitely higher than all the worlds. It is the source of life of all the worlds and all the forces of nature. Therefore, a person who occupies himself with studying the Torah infuses life into all the worlds and ranks higher than the worlds. So it is impossible for this person's destiny to be determined by the forces of nature if he is studying something which is above and beyond nature. It determines nature itself. So you're getting yourself on the side of God, on the side of the forces of nature. The Torah is the master of the nature, because that's how Hashem runs the world, through the Torah. So by virtue of you studying the Torah, you're above and beyond the rules of nature. This idea is expressed in the Talmud in Psachim 50b. Rava contrasted two verses, two psukim. One, it says, for your kindness is great until the heavens. That is Psalm 57, verse 11. But another verse says, for your kindness is great above the heavens. That's Psalm 108, verse 5. Well, which is it? Is God's kindness great until the heavens or above the heavens? Which one? How can this be explained? The Talmud answers, God's kindness reaches above the heavens for those who perform the mitzvos, the commandments, lishma, which is to say, they are beyond the laws of nature, meaning miracles are performed for them. It reaches only until the heavens for those who do the mitzvos, shelo lishma, not for the sake of the Torah. They are doing the mitzvos, and they're governed by the laws of nature. They do the mitzvos not for its own sake. They do it maybe because they want to get wealthy. They want to make a name for themselves. They're not doing it because God said so, but rather because they're going to use the Torah as a shovel to make a great name for themselves. And some people have done things like that because we know how great the Torah is. So they take the Torah and they give a lot of money here and there, and they get their name up in lights, and everybody respects them. But are you doing it? Are you giving the money because of the mitzvah of giving, or because you need to see your name up in lights? That's the question.
this approach, this reconciliation between the two psukim, concurs with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who says, quote, a man should always engage in Torah and mitzvot, even shelo lishma, even for, you know, for reasons, you know, that are a little bit less, you know, less glorious. Shelo lishma, you know, he's doing it not for its own sake, not because God said so, but because, you know, he's a self-aggrandizing guy. Got to have those naming rights. Says Rabbi Yehuda, okay, a person should always engage in learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, even if he's doing it not for the sake of the Almighty God. Because by doing them, shelo lishma, not for the sake of God, but for his own sake, but by doing it even to promote himself, he will come eventually to engage in them lishma, for its own sake. Where do you see an example of that? Our children, you get a kid to study in the Torah study session, you know, in this shul and that shul, on Shabbos during the week, whatever. Why are the kids there? Well, they're giving away good prizes. They got a raffle going on. Who doesn't want to win Earth and Earth Lord and a gun, a PB gun, or whatever? Food, prizes, all kinds of great stuff. As a child, you are intrigued by all these rewards. And the rewards hook you, and you say to yourself, Eric, I gotta go study Torah now, Mommy. They're raffling off prizes. They're giving away salami sandwiches. Well, that worked as a kid, you know, to get you in, because you're going to win a prize. You're going to win a raffle prize of some sort. But when you become an adult, hopefully, you're no longer studying the Torah because they're raffling away a Nerf ball or a cap gun. You're studying the Torah because that's what you got to do. So Rita says, okay. So if you're the kind of adult who has a child's mentality and all you can muster up is this, I got to study Torah because, you know, I'll put my name up in lights on the side of a building. All right, do that. Eventually, hopefully, you'll graduate from sixth grade and you'll enter grad school where nobody's raffling off a Nerf ball. It is the pure pleasure of studying the Torah itself that compels people to do it. This means that a person who learns Torah, shelo lishma, not for its own sake, although he has an ulterior motive, will eventually reach the level of studying Torah, lishma, for its own sake. Nevertheless, at his present stage, he has not yet risen to the point where God would deal with him in a supernatural way. This is expounded in the Raya Mehemna, in that work. Quote, before the Torah was given to Israel, the fate of humanity was determined by the position of the stars. After the Torah was given, the Jewish people were removed from the dictates of the planets and constellations. Therefore, if one learns Torah, he is set free from the predestined fate determined by the stars. Conversely, the destiny of one who neglects his Torah studies is unalterably decided by the position of the planets and the signs of the zodiac. Oh boy, who wouldn't want to have, you know, who would not want to study the Torah to be able to be under God's direct involvement? Who wants to be under the influence of the stars in the zodiac? What kind of this is that? Nobody, I mean, whatever that even means. I don't want that. I want to be set free from the predestined fate determined by the stars. They got nothing on me. We continue. He controls the forces of nature. Furthermore, the forces of nature do the bidding
of one who learns Torah Lishma, which means he has the power to work miracles. He can control the forces of nature, for they are in awe of him. As it says in Ethics of the Fathers, Pirkei Avos chapter 6, Mishnah 1, the Torah gives him kingship and dominion. For the divine crown, the radiance of Torah, radiates from his head. The Zohar says, quote, when Isaiah 51 says, quote, I have placed my words in your mouth, and with the shade of my hand, I have covered you. That's Isaiah 51, verse 16. This teaches that whoever learns Torah, the Almighty protects him, and the Shekhinah spreads its wings over him. In the same vein, the Zohar says, quote, look how powerful the Torah is and how much higher it is above all else. Whoever learns Torah need not fear the higher and lower spiritual beings and need not be afraid of sickness and disease, because he holds on to the tree of life and eats its fruit all day. The person studying Torah holds on to the tree of life and he eats its fruits all day. The Torah teaches man to walk in the path of truth. End quote. And the Zohar says, look how much God loves the Torah. Whoever learns Torah is beloved above and below. The Almighty listens to his prayers and does not abandon him, either in this world or the next world. Quote, end quote. And the Zohar says as follows, he knew his Zohar, I'll tell you that. And the Zohar says, if a person does his best to serve his master and studies the Torah, a multitude of angels come out to guard him. The Shekhinah, God's holy presence, hovers over him, and all angels proclaim before him, honor to the image of the king. He is guarded in this world and the next. Fortunate is his lot, his portion. End quote. How beautiful is that? How beautiful that we have the ability to study the Torah. Oh, by the way, I was telling my wife that Chaim Voloshin wrote, he wrote, Musser people into Musser, they should be studying the Torah. He writes a big Musser book. I mean, this is like one big Musser book. The importance of Limud HaTorah. A little bit more before my voice completely goes out. Let me just think on this. We're on page 165. Let's do, there's still a little bit left. Another 40, 50 pages to go. Let's do chapter 19 and call it a day. Okay, we're on chapter 19 right now. Let's end chapter 19. The Torah comprises the names of God. God's name is associated with one who learns Torah. The Torah is made up entirely of names. As it says in the Talmud in Brachos 21a, where do we find in the Torah that a blessing must be said prior to Torah study? Where do you see that? Because it says in Scripture, quote, when I proclaim the name of Hashem, praise God for his greatness. That is Deuteronomy 32, verse 3. Kishem Hashem Ekra, when I will call upon God's name, Habugodo Elokeinu. Render glory and praise for his greatness. Meaning, says the Bible, when one learns Torah, which is made up of God's names, he must recite a bracha, praising God's name. Sages taught also that when one learns Torah, the Shekhinah hovers over him. For it says, quote, wherever I allow my name to be mentioned, which means, of course, wherever a Torah scholar learns Torah, which is comprised of God's names. Now the scripture continues, I will come to you and I will bless you. That is in Exodus 20, verse 20. Similarly, the Zohar says, look how much God cherishes the Torah. Wherever someone is learning Torah, the Almighty and all his hosts listen in, and God comes to dwell with him. As it says, quote, wherever I allow my name to be mentioned, I will come to you and bless you. How about that? Reminder, just look at that again. Wherever someone is learning Torah, then God himself and all his hosts, they listen in. Hashem comes to dwell with them. How great is that? You want Hashem to listen in on you, watch over you directly? There's an answer. Study the Torah, and it will happen. The Zohar also says, whoever observes the laws of the Torah and is occupied in studying it is considered as though he studied God's holy name, because the entire Torah is one holy divine name that includes all names. Therefore, a scribe who omits one letter in the Torah is reckoned as though he blemished the holy name, end quote. And the Zohar further says, quote, whoever forgets the Torah text and does not want to study it is considered as though he forgot the Almighty God, because the Torah is made up entirely of God's name. And whoever learns Torah is crowned with the crown of God's name and will get to know the hidden ways and the deepest mysteries of the Torah. God and the Torah are one. For this reason, the sages said, if the Holy One, blessed be he, and the Torah are one, because he and his name are one. And so it says in the Zohar, in reality, the entire Torah is one holy name of God. Happy is one who acquires it, for he who learns Torah, and who learns Torah truly acquires God's holy name. Let's read that again. In reality, the entire Torah is one holy name of God. Happy is one who acquires it, because he who learns Torah truly acquires God's holy name. But Yossi says he actually acquires God himself, for he and his name are one. Imagine studying the Holy Scripture and getting God on your side. In keeping with this, it says in Tana D'Veilio, chapter 18, quote, whoever quarrels with a Torah scholar is reckoned as though he quarrels with the Almighty God. For it says, quote, Dathan and Aviram, who incited against Moshe and Aaron when they contended against God. Numbers 26, verse 9. Therefore, when a person comes in the name of God, everyone is in awe of him and trembles before him. As it says, all the nations of the world will realize that God's name is associated with you, and they will be in awe of you. That was Deuteronomy 28, verse 10. And finally, the last paragraph before, with the conclusion of chapter 19, God loves Torah scholars. The Zohar says, you can tell how much the Almighty loves those who learn Torah, because even when the world is judged with strict justice and the destructive angel is permitted to wreak destruction, God warns him against harming Torah students. This is what God tells him, quoting Deuteronomy 20, verse 19, quote, when you lay siege to a city because of the many sins of its inhabitants, says God, I should instruct you as to how to treat the members of my household. And the pasuk continues, you must not destroy its trees, meaning do not harm the Torah scholar in that city, for he is the tree of life that bears fruit. He advises the people and shows them the way. And the pasuk continues, wielding an axe, which means do not swing the flaming sword against that Torah scholar. This is the command which God gives the destructive angel regarding those who engage in Torah study. Okay, my dear friends, thank you so much. We got to page 168, chapter 20. Truth be told, not a whole lot left to go. We're up to 168, and the book ends at 208. Another 40 pages to go. If we do 10 pages a day, we'll conclude in 4 quick weeks. Very exciting. So I want to wish everybody a great day. Remember to continue studying the Torah for its own sake, not for the sake of the raffle prizes and the Nerf ball and the little chess set and the cap gun, but rather set your heights on high and study the Torah, because the Almighty commanded you to do it. And with that, in that schus, may you be blessed 1,000-fold from heaven with all good blessings. Wishing everybody a great rest of the day. Don't forget tomorrow night, Tanakh Tuesday, 7:30 sharp, we study the book of Isaiah, which is a wondrous work. It's a monumental work. And if you don't study with us, when will you? I mean, you might as well join us, because what are you going to do it again? I mean, come on. Come on, people. Study Isaiah with us. You'll love it. And tell your friends, come join us live at the shul or call in. Either way, join us for Isaiah. We're in chapter 1 still, but soon out of chapter 1. We look forward to having you tomorrow joining with us. Have a great day today and a great day tomorrow. See you tomorrow night. Take care. Be well. Governor.